Jonah chapter 1, starting at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They already knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault, and this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us unaccountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you please." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights.
Great. Well, let's ask for the Lord's help as we have time in his word with Jonah chapter 1. Let's just pray. Father, thank you so much that you speak to us and we have your word. You reveal yourself to us so wonderfully through it. And we just pray now this morning you would still our hearts, clear our minds, help us not to be distracted. Help those of us with children at home, Lord, please, to have a time where we can learn these wonderful truths about the lengths of your love and compassion. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we opened our time together with that question at the start about where we draw the limits, the measure, if you will, of God's love. And it might be that you think immediately of the bully at school, the bully at work, the bully at home or within your wider family. And you think, could God love them? Could God love them? Or indeed, actually, would they ever be interested in God's love? They just seem so far removed from any such thought. And very often we will always draw a line somewhere as we think about God's love. And ironically, it is always the fact that his love will always include us, when you might well find that someone else has drawn the line and it doesn't include us for whatever reason to them. And you see, this book wants us to see the depth and extent of God's loving compassion, and indeed the lengths he goes to for people to know about it and to know about him. A tiny bit of background about Jonah. He was a prophet. So he was part of God's communication strategy for the world to reveal his word. And as we've heard right at the start, the word of the Lord comes to him and he's asked to pass on these truths with this message of the Lord. Who is Jonah? We know from 2 Kings chapter 14 a little bit about him. He's been used as a prophet before. And within the setting of that story and his prophecy, we know that Jonah knows firsthand the lengths of God's patience and compassion with his people. He's seen how God has been so kind to Israel, patiently blessing them in ways beyond their deserving. When they're turning their back on him, he is graciously loving and providing for them. And he's seen that firsthand. He knows what the Lord is like. And whilst this book is called, therefore, Jonah, he's a central character, of course. But it really is a book about the Lord. He is the main character. You see, throughout, we'll see Jonah is a disobedient, as we've heard, a disobedient, self-righteous, angry, self-important, complaining racist. But the Lord isn't. And that the contrast between them plays throughout. And our prayer is that this book of Jonah will humble us all as we see more of the Lord's love and stir us to speak more willingly of the Lord's love to others. The first thing we see from today's verses is that the Lord is concerned for sinners. Just the first three verses, we see the Lord is concerned for sinners. Let me remind you of them. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. So here we are. The word of the Lord comes and gives Jonah his preaching assignment. And he's to go to this dark city of Nineveh. We heard about it in the children's slot. But think Sodom and Gomorrah, if that means something to you. It's a message of warning from their maker. And Nineveh was part of the Assyrian Empire. And that meant that as whilst we would look in and the Israelites would look in and see wickedness, well, they were their own nation with their own customs and their own gods. And perhaps we would look in and think, well, at the end of the day, live and let live, right? They've got their ways, we've got ours. But the point was they were very wicked. And indeed, their ways, their gods, they were fake. And so the one true and living God, he sees their sin and he's not indifferent. He sends them warning. Or at least he tries, doesn't he? As communications strategies go, God says go, Jonah says no. As we've heard, he does the opposite. See, God says head 600 miles east to Nineveh, and Jonah tries to head 2,000 miles west to Tarshish. He was very determined to go nowhere near the place. But as we'll see, and as we've heard, he can't outrun the Lord who made the seas on which he plans to set sail, can he? And that isn't just because he's sovereign and all-powerful, it's because he's concerned for sinners. It reminds me of the story you might remember from last year, November 2019. Seems a long time ago, doesn't it? But November 2019, a chap called John Chow was determined to take the word of the Lord, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the most unreached and untouched people group left on planet Earth, on North Sentinel Island. And before he was able to get onto the beach, John was killed by an arrow, by a bow and arrow from one of the islanders. And many applauded and shared the opinion of one critic who said in the papers, "What a deluded idiot John Chow is or was." And John's final diary entry the night before he tried to land on the beach was a note to his parents who said, "You might think I'm crazy, but I think it's worth it to declare Jesus to these people." You see, John followed where Jonah simply fled. John knew the Lord and his concern for sinners. We'll come and think about that a little bit more shortly. But if firstly, the Lord is concerned for sinners, secondly, he is sovereign and saves the helpless. That's what we're to see in verses 4 to 16. God is sovereign and he saves the helpless. So Jonah, we know he heads off in the opposite direction. And the Lord hurls down a storm to stop him. And this is obviously a fearful storm. It's beyond the skills of the sailors. We're told, aren't we, verse 5, all the sailors were afraid. Each cried out to his own God. They're fulfilling that phrase, aren't they? No such thing as an atheist on a sinking ship. They cry out to their gods. And in all the drama of battling the storming seas, of trying to wake Jonah, who seems to be just being rocked to sleep, the main message of what's going on here is there right in the middle of the narrative, right at the center. And so as they draw lots to find out who's to blame, the Lord, who's sovereign, ensures the lot falls on Jonah. And they start something of a Spanish Inquisition, the who, what, why, where, when of who this man on their ship is. And then right in the middle of all that's going on, we get the message, verse 9, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. This terrified the sailors and they asked, what have you done? It's an interesting reply from Jonah, isn't it? I am a Hebrew, he says. And before we think, wow, this is a bold personal testimony of his living faith in a loving Lord, no, this is revealing more of where Jonah's at. He's revealing his identity and his security is firmly rooted in his heritage, not in his God. And he says, I worship the Lord. And the original word is fear. And the sailors must be thinking, as we hear in their question, just as we're asking, really? It doesn't seem like you fear him anything like enough. You've completely done the very opposite to what he's asked you. But of course, the Lord is sovereign. And despite Jonah doing the precise opposite, the Lord has his servant right where he wants him. Because even before Jonah gets to Nineveh to preach the message the word's given him, the Lord wants these sailors to hear this message too. And he wants them to be the ones who rightly fear and worship and be saved. The Lord will and does help the helpless. It reminds me a bit, perhaps, have you ever tried... I'm sure you have, it can't just be me, where the alarm goes off in the morning and you sort of sleepily reach out to try and bang the alarm clock to silence it, to snooze for another 10 minutes or simply turn it off. And you just can't hit the right button first time, can you? And you sort of eventually manage to do it. And all the time the alarm keeps going and you keep waking up rather than going back to sleep. Something that here, Jonah cannot silence or snooze the sovereign Lord, who has an alarm call message, if you like, for everybody to hear. And so the sailors, they hear something of this alarm call, the God who made the sea, the God who made the dry land. And they ask Jonah, verse 11, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? And Jonah is very clear. Who's at fault? He's clear that if he's thrown into the storm of God's anger, into the raging sea that he sent, then they will live. Now, if that sounds crazy to us, what a left field idea. Well, it sounded ridiculous to the sailors too, doesn't it? Verse 13, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew wilder. You see, that just sounds ridiculous, Jonah. We're not going to chuck you in. You will drown. We'll get you home to safety. But the Lord is sovereign. And his plan is quite clear. And eventually they have to give in. And they throw Jonah in, as he's told them to. And of course, the Lord makes the sea grow calm. And the chapter closes surprisingly for us. Verse 16, the sailors are alive. And it is they who now do what Jonah didn't. It is they who truly fear this living Lord. They who turn in worship and prayer and sacrifice and promise and vow. Because they know and see and have felt firsthand that the sovereign Lord saved them when they were at their most helpless. And what of Jonah? Well, we heard, didn't we, a little clue. About a very big fish, he saved two. And actually, we'll pick up next week as we think about why and how and what that means. Well, our opening question asked, is there someone we can think of that is beyond the measure of God's love? And clearly for Jonah, he could think of Nineveh. And that is the challenge of this book. And that is where this chapter sets the tone and direction of travel about all that we are to see of the Lord's love. We thought earlier about the Lord being concerned for sinners. And clearly that is Jonah's MO, isn't it? He's part of the communication team to preach God's word, and he's got to preach it to Nineveh. And it's clear the Lord is going to get in there by hook or by crook or by great fish, as we'll see. And so as we look at Jonah chapter 1, I think we can do no more in many ways than just want to give thanks, as that song invites us to do, to give thanks at the lengths of the Lord's love for the lost. Whether it's those who are really lost, like Nineveh, we'd all look in and say, gosh, what wickedness. Or those who are deliberately lost, like Jonah, willfully ignoring the Lord and going the other way. So thank the Lord for his concern for sinners. Maybe we need to think and thank the Lord for those who first shared his word with us, his message of salvation, the good news of Jesus. And let's pray that Christ Church Crouch End would have this MO of Jonah. And perhaps we pray more faithfully go about it, of having a concern for the lost and preaching God's word to those in our community. But secondly, we heard that the Lord is sovereign and saves the helpless. And as we saw that the drama of what went on with the storm, and despite their best efforts, the storm growing wilder and lots landing on Jonah, we're left in no doubt throughout, are we, about who's in control of the events. So even when Jonah does the opposite, the Lord does have Jonah right where he wants him, with an audience of lost sinners, those who don't know the Lord. And friends, the same Lord who is sovereign remains sovereign, which means he has you, he has me, right where he wants us to share his word, to share the gospel. And let's face it, if he can use Jonah, he can use you and me. Isn't it astonishing? God says go, Jonah says no. God doesn't say, well, I'll pick someone else. No, there's so much for us to learn about the way he deals with Jonah. But if he can use him, even on board this ship, he can use you, he can use me. And that gives great encouragement, doesn't it? Just think ahead tomorrow. What are you looking forward to or not looking forward to about what the day's got in store? Maybe you're just thinking, gosh, another day of trying my best to sort of self-isolate or stay locked in. I'll only see the postman. Well, the Lord knows you'll see the postman. Maybe think, oh my goodness, another just whole run of hour after hour of Zoom calls. And the Lord knows every single person on that screen and has you right where he wants you. Aren't we finding people are more ready than ever, perhaps, than we've known, to helplessly call on their gods, whatever they might be, gods with a small g. And that means they are more than willing to listen than we might have known. And friends, Jonah was a terrible evangelist, wasn't he? So far, it's not looking good. But the Lord is an astonishing evangelist. And just with, as we saw in Jonah's sort of weak personal testimony, full of faults and flaws, so with our faltering words, the Lord can use us to have people fall under the sound of the gospel and, like the sailors, recognize their helplessness and be saved. See, the Lord is concerned for sinners, and he is sovereign and longs to save the helpless. But just as we close, let's just see how all that we've seen in Jonah so far points to Jesus and indeed our story. We'll think a little bit more, as I say, next week about Jonah's fishy rescue. Jesus himself says in the Gospels how the Jonah being inside that fish points to his own death and resurrection. But so far, what about us? What's going on? Well, as we look at the story, we're a bit like the sailors in the boat, aren't we? We're helpless and facing death. You know, even if the vaccine comes, well, that's just going to postpone the inevitable. If it's not corona, it will be something. We are helpless in the face of death. We're a bit like the sailors. We're also quite a lot like Jonah. Our hearts naturally and instinctively say no to God, and God is angry at us for choosing to go our own way rather than trust him with his. But Jesus, who is the Lord God, God's Son, the Word made flesh. Well, he saw us in our helplessness, didn't he? And came down to be with us. And so when Jesus went to the cross for us, it was a bit like Jonah going into the sea for those sailors. And whilst Jonah at that point really was just resigned to his fate, well, Jesus instead was faithful to his Father. He willingly faced the anger of God at our sin so that we could be at peace with our Maker and now able to do freely what the sailors did, to fear and to thank and worship and praise our Lord, seeing his hand in his gracious rescue. And so, friends, maybe life in lockdown 2.0 has us in the spiritual doldrums, struggling with just day to day, a sense of fear, overwhelmed with sort of just all that's going on around us and some of the uncertainties. Well, please know you're not going to be alone in feeling that. But these verses would stir us to fix our eyes on Jesus, who has come to you, who has come to me in the storm and voluntarily given himself over to God's anger at your sin and mine. That we would just recognize our helplessness, run to our Lord and thank him. See, friends, our Lord is concerned for sinners. And in his sovereignty, he saves the helpless, just like you and just like me. Let's pray, and then we'll close in song. Loving Father, we thank you so much for all that you long to show us about who you are as we look in on your dealings with Jonah. We pray you would have us increasingly in awe of the extent of your love. We thank you that you love all, no matter how far we might think they've fallen. We thank you that your love has no measure. You'd even send Jonah to Nineveh. We think of your love for Jonah, his disobedience to your word, and yet your provision of rescue. Lord, we pray you'd help us to obey more, to not turn away from you, but turn towards you. Again, not through being compelled necessarily, but only compelled by the measure of your love that draws us in and saves us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.